The scripture reading before the lesson is going to be 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 211, or you can follow along in the pamphlet. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
I want to thank each one of you for your presence this morning. Inasmuch as the individual church thanks your presence each Lord's Day, the God of heaven is thankful for where you stand this day in your service to God. It speaks about you, and is my name written up there. In Malachi, it talks about when I take up my jewels. And he says, there's a book that's written, those that fear the Lord, and he calls them his jewels. And so you're his jewels this day. You're precious unto him. We thank Larry for his prayer, Andrew for the reading, and for your presence this day. Inasmuch as a lot has happened this past week, we need to pray for kings and those in authority that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life in Christ Jesus. Seems like a good bit of unrest is in the country. When people try to do their very best, people will still complain about that. This morning I'd like to talk about the subject of precious. It isn't my writing that's on the board, or you might not even be able to read it, but nevertheless, I thank Jeffrey for that. And if we could put some preciousness on the subject, the dictionary would say it's a high cost, it's something that's cherished, it's valuable, it's a darling, it's highly esteemed. And it's like over-refined, as the Bible talks about that good. It's great wealth. And also in Nelson's Bible Dictionary, it calls it something extremely valuable. We at times have heard the subject, isn't she precious? Isn't he precious in their birth? And you get a new baby in your family, it's almost unbelievable. Our first one, he just jumped up in the air and kicked my heels together, and I'd fall down flat on my face today. But when you see a child that's born in the perfection that God has made that child, it's just so precious. And there are other things that are precious too. Precious indeed is my Savior to me. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by blood divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Lest I forget it, the song that we just sang a little bit ago, it says, in Christ we have redemption found. A lot of times there's within a song a message that God wants. In Christ we have redemption found. God is love. His blood has washed away my sins. And it goes on. And so we see within the verses of song the preciousness that's therein found. And we want to talk about that blood somewhat this morning too. We talk about precious memories, how they ever linger, how they ever flood my soul. We think about things in the past and everything. And you know, some of the memories that we should have are memory verses that kind of are as an anchor to our soul. And they're precious to us. When you go out into the world, and some of you are maybe at that stage, you've already been there, and you begin to see what's in the world, you begin to cringe. When I first went to the Army, I didn't think there was a good guy in the Army at all, around our barracks. They's cussing and telling stories and everything, you know, but inside that they would fight for you, and they would die for you, really. But you get out in the world, you hear a lot of things and a lot of cursing and using God's name in vain. And we need to have verses within And you know, we think of memories, and we think of your grandparents maybe that have brought you the gospel, or your parents, or maybe it's a friend that means so much to you. And you see, one of the big things, we're all part of the family of God. And sometimes we weep together, and sometimes we laugh. But we're still all the family of God. And we have a lot of precious things that we can hang on to in this life. In the reading this morning, it said something about being redeemed. And it talks about blood. And I would go ahead and write a good bit on this board, but in fear that you couldn't read it and all, it talks about, for as much as you know that you weren't redeemed with silver and gold from the vain conversation of your fathers, it's vain if you ever been told that you can be redeemed by silver and gold. But it says the next verse, in verse, but by the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without spot and without blemish before God. That's how we're redeemed, by that blood and nothing else. You know, you hear stories sometimes, and they're fictitious. They have no sense about them. When I was just a kid about 70 years ago, working for a man, and he's talking there, and somebody in the neighborhood had died. And so they were getting money collected up to pray for him out of purgatory. This is not Bible stuff, but this is what's out in the world, you see. And if they could collect $10,000, there'd be somebody out there, we need some more money to get him out of purgatory. We about got him there, or something like that. In that state where man is before judgment. And if you could pray him out of that. And you know, I never even thought about that verse, but you know in the verse, as far as much as ye were not redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. It talks about the tradition of your father said that silver and gold would redeem you. And Christ is bringing the opposite of that. It's much like a proverb. This overhears this way, but that's not the truth. And that's certainly how it was. And the guys, neighbors, that, and they were good men. And they said, "That's just, I ain't going to give any money to him. Just let him go into that bad world." He was kind of a bad guy, and so they're trying to pray him out. You see, silver and gold's not going to do that. And it just made me think of that when I was a child, some of the things that you come across. There is a passage found in 1 Samuel 3 and 1. It says, and the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And of course, that was Samuel. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And there was no open vision. You know what was precious at different times has been so much. And the Bible talks about that. He said the word. Maybe the word's precious today. We need to open up our Bibles and look in it. But why was the word precious? Brother Jim Williamson spoke on this last Sunday evening. There was no open vision. And it talks about they didn't have a preacher. They didn't have teachers with them all the time. And it was a period when they had judges. For 450 years, as Acts 13 and 20 says, that God used judges. But you know that judge might not come up until Israel's in trouble. And then he'd get them out of the trouble, and then they go back and they had rest for some years. Then back again, they'd have another judge, another judge, another judge. The time of the writing here, it says that the word of the Lord was precious. And it should be precious to us today. The light, thy word gives light into the world. No, Eli was no benefit, the 13th judge, nor his sons. They brought reproach upon God and his system. And so the word was scarce. And you know, it's also scarce in the time of Nehemiah when he wrote, when Ezra stood up before the people and he read the law before the people, and he blessed the God of heaven, and he said, amen and amen. And the people lifted up their hands and they said, amen and amen. And they bowed their heads to the ground and showed their humility. And the Bible says, and they cried. They'd never heard that word for so long. They'd been in captivity for 70 years. You know, not always was Moses with them that led them along the way, or Joshua. There's periods of time they didn't have those prophets to help them. And so the word was scarce in those days. The Bible says the word was precious. And you know, if you couldn't find something that was precious and you finally found it, and you could weep and rejoice, as the Bible says, rejoice with those that weep. And it talks about if the son is lost, or if a coin is lost, or if sheep are lost. The Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven than one sinner over one sinner repents than 99 that doesn't need it. In Deuteronomy, it talks about some precious things. As Joseph was blessing his children, Jacob blessing his children, he blessed each one of them, and this is what Moses records here. And Joseph, he said, blessed be the God of this land. And he says, precious things from heaven, and for the dew and for the deep that comes down, and precious fruit which brings forth by the sun, and precious things put forth by the moon, and chief things of and of precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof. Let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and his children. See, Joseph didn't have a tribe to himself. He had two sons, and the reading is there, let the precious things happen upon his children. Let precious things happen upon us. And when the Bible uses the word blessed, and that really, it says that it was the precious blessings that God put upon him, the dew of heaven, the fruits of the land and everything he had. He talked about, blessed is that. And you know, we ourselves are blessed from the God of heaven. When we all have precious things upon our head, if we mourn, like it says in Matthew the 5th chapter, and weep with those that weep, that we also are to be meek, that we are to be peacemakers, that we are to be merciful, that we are to be pure, and things of that. You're blessed by God. The precious blessings of God rest upon you if you do those things. And so you can bring that on down to us today. One other thing, in 1 Samuel, the 26th chapter, it talks about David and Saul. And a statement is there talking about his soul. As you know, that David had to flee Saul so many times. Saul was the king. David had administered to him in a good way. Saul got an evil spirit. He's throwing a javelin at him, and just like dart games, and trying to hit him. And when he's in bed, they sent men up to stab him and kill him. And then he went after him with his army. And while the army was asleep at night, David came over and got his spear and got his cruse of water. And he said to David the next morning, when they came and meet each other, who are you? I'm David, your son. And he said, you know, with this spear and this cruse of oil, I was there last night and I could have killed you. But he says, because your soul is precious unto me. He talks about the soul being precious. Saul finally woke up the fact that the soul is precious. And he said, I won't do it anymore. I won't harm you anymore. You're my son. Come to me. But sometimes we have to realize the preciousness of things around about us that the Bible talks about. use just a few passages and leave the lesson with you this morning. Again, in Psalms, we read, those that boast themselves of their riches, can they redeem a brother? You know, if you had a bunch of riches, could you redeem a brother? It's kind of like what I said a little bit ago. Can your silver and gold redeem anyone? And the very next verse helps us out. For the redemption of their soul is precious. That's what was written by David. The redemption of their soul is precious. And we ought to look around about us and see those souls that are precious to the Lord, that we could help in any way that we can. Again, we read in the Psalms, he shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save their soul. The next verse, and he shall redeem their souls. You remember about the poor and the needy in the Bible. And as Ruth and Boaz had their story, she gleaned from the corners of the field, and God has felt sorry for the poor. They don't have any place else to turn to but to him. The king won't listen, and others. And the Bible says, and he shall redeem their souls from deceit and violence. And he says, precious shall their blood be in his sight. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When a saint dies, and is mentioned in our Bible study, you know, we don't have anything else to look forward in this life, but we do in the next life. And the Bible says, precious is the soul of those of the saints. It's kind of like the Revelation letter. Blessed are those that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. We've got a work and a job to do. In the Psalms again, it says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. You know, when you do valuable things and you talk to people and bring the gospel to them, sometimes you go forth reaping, wishing that you could do something for them. But it says that he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, having his sheaves with him. You know, when you sow the seed of the kingdom, we ask the question, why a song? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? It talks about the seed. Seed is very precious. And it says that you shall rejoice after you've sown that seed. You know, my word cast upon the waters, it shall not return to me void. That's God's promise. When you sow the seed, it won't do damage. It'll do good. And it won't return to God void. You sow the seed of the kingdom. And a lot of times in the time of captivity, there wasn't much seed. There was scarcity of it. Scarcity of the word back then. If you lived in those times for 70 years, you'd think how precious that word is. And when you come down and you bow before the God of heaven. It's like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon, it's like the precious, I better get the first verse. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, God couldn't stress that any more than he wants his people to be in unity, where we all work together and we can have a goal in the after while. How good and how pleasant it is to work together. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even into Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. You know, when Aaron was appointed as high priest, and they used that anointing oil, and how good that was to help their nation. And so it is with unity within the body of the Lord. It's that precious. Again, we read, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, David said. How precious are thy thoughts unto me. You think about God's thoughts, and his ways are higher than my ways. How precious are their thoughts, God. When God made man upon the earth, as our young people all know about the creation and light and firmament and vegetation and like that. And then he put man here. He did the ultimate and then put him in the paradise of the garden. And then man messed up, you see. But how precious are thy thoughts? God's thinking about us from the very first of time. By Christ all things consist today. Do you think about your gasoline that you get in your car, you go to the filling station, but God has it reserved in the soil, and men have to get it out. That's a good feat. The jets that you go on that use so much in their takeoff. How about the farmers that need nitrogen for the soil, and they can capture that nitrogen from the air and put it in the soil so it grows and a good corn crop. How about the phosphate mines that God's given us? The potash mines. The limestone mines that's even in Indiana. God thought about it. He had them all here for us. And David did when I... That's precious of my thoughts about you, dear God. And you know, we need to think how precious God was thinking when he goes and says, "Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more than the number of the sand of sea." And so again, he points that out. Proverbs 3 and 15, it says, "She is more precious than rubies." And it's talking about wisdom. She's more precious. For you to learn God's word, it's more precious than any valuable ruby or diamond that you might ever find. And that's certainly true. When it talks about a virtuous woman, she's worth more than rubies. And it makes me think a little bit of yesterday, and I don't know all the things that all that the women had in mind when they gathered by the thousands or maybe by the millions over the country, even Germany. Their rights or whatever. You know, God has placed up the woman. And he says there in Proverbs 31 and 10 through 30, her value. And God has placed up the woman, and it's been man that has taken her down. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. It's like you folks, you go out and work hard to get some little things in this life. And it says how precious. The substance of a diligent man, it's precious. And then he talks about the lips of knowledge. The lips of knowledge. Make me think when I was a little squirt here at Gadsden, and Sister Poor was the teacher, and Sister Wakefield was the teacher, and she called me Billy Bob. She didn't know my name. Sometimes I have trouble with your names today, but she didn't know my name, but she just called me like my brother. There are four of us. We're all towheads. And which one are you? You're Billy Bob. My brother Billy, and my name is Sam Bob, and so they call me that, you know. But you remember those things, that they were lips of knowledge that we learned when we was kids. We have teachers here that have lips of knowledge. Some of them have taught for 50 years. Some men in the pulpit here, the teachers back at the back end. And about every Sunday, there's 10 or 15 teachers here before you. Teachers of knowledge. They might be singing a song. They might be offering a prayer. They might be waiting at the table. They might be back at the class for the little tiny guys. But it's lips of knowledge that is so precious, the Bible talks about. And we need to acknowledge the fact that we still need those lips of knowledge today. I aim to read in the Psalms, and it gives a better description than I am right now. He said there's gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. There's gold, there's a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge is above all of that. And you folks have that, and you need to hold on to it with everything that you can. Again, we read, by knowledge shall thy house be filled with precious and pleasant things. Your house is to be filled with knowledge and all pleasant and good things. A good name is better and more precious than ointment, and the day of one's death more than the day of his birth. A good name, the name of Miller might have been defiled by someone, but the name of a Christian you hold up to is a name that you always are to hold up for, a good name, a child of God. Again we read, and I'll make a man more precious than fine gold. You know, it's his face that makes you more precious. When you read the Hebrew letter, those heroes of faith was more than pure gold. If you had pure gold, it wouldn't mount to anything compared to the faith that you might have in judgment. What was read in their Bible study this morning, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation, and he that believeth on him shall not make haste. Such beautiful words talking about Christ. God makes this statement about Israel. Since thou wast precious in my sight, and you know Israel wasn't always precious, but he gives them credit at times what they did. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee, and therefore I'll give men for thee. You know, if you're a child of God, God's willing to give men for you. You stand up for what's right. And you know, the few men that they had in Gideon's time, there's just 100 on each hill. They didn't come with a sword or anything of that nature to fight the Midianites that were down in the valley. God says, I'll bless you. Precious are you if you're the few. The Bible talks about few there be that find it. So when they came there, they just had three things in their hand. They had a trumpet, and they had a candle here, and they had a pitcher over top of that candle. And when the shout came out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and they blew the trumpet, and they took the pitcher off, and the light was shining in the middle of the night when everybody's asleep in the Midianites. It was like in a football field where you see all those lights. To them it must have looked like that when you open up your eyes. And they defeated the Midianites by what they did there. And the Midianites began to fight against themselves. It was the strategy of the Lord. And we all need strategy as we go through this life. The New Testament talks about the ointment. The ointment that was poured upon the head of Jesus. She poured it upon his head as he sat at meat. And someone said, why was this waste? 300 pence. And to me, it's like a whole year's wages. And I think they made a pence a day. My daddy made a dollar a day. If he could collect all those days he worked, 300 days, and bought some alabaster box or an ointment that was very precious. The Bible says that ointment was precious. They poured it upon the head of Jesus. And somebody complained about it. Why was the waste? You know what Jesus said? You just leave her alone. Why trouble you her? She's wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. She hath come aforehand to anoint my body for the burial. And wheresoever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also shall be spoken of a memorial for her. You know, any time that you do good, people might say that's waste or something. But this wasn't waste on Jesus. That anointment that he needed, that could be upon his head, even as God had anointed him, and ran down on his beard and went down to the skirts of his garment, when she did that, she anointed that body. That body that had been slapped around and kicked and wanted to be thrown out of the city. And even when they put the lashes on his back, and the man that would administer it would have a whip that had three big tongs on it. And history tells us this, that nails or stones or glass or anything to penetrate on the back of that person. And they'd have his shirt off and they'd just beat him and then beat him. And many times they did it to kill him. And the Bible says by his stripes were healed. And she came with anointment there just before he died to anoint Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about patience, that you need to have the length of what you're doing to have patience. It says the workman that plants a seed, he waits for the early and the later rain. And he talks about us, our patience is precious, like the workman. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that's tried with fire. I'm sorry, I have passed on them. But look, going back, that we weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, to you who believe that he's precious. He's talking about us if we believe he's precious. He's precious indeed. He's the stone that was set aside of you builders. When he talks about the trial of your faith, it's much more precious than gold. And when the Bible talks about that faith that you have and that belief that you have, to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you repent of your sins and need to be baptized, even at this point in time, as we looked at the precious things that's out there for us, and God looks down from heaven, and he couldn't be happier than to see it one person that repents. There's more joy in heaven over the angels. If you're subject to that this day, you may have erred and done something amiss, that you can be right with God again, because he redeemed you by his blood, while together we stand and sing.